Okay, so we are going to do kind of a little extra segment where we do audience Q&A. So if people have questions about the show, about popular culture in general, about not anything you want to ask us, stick around and do so. We also, finally, for the first time, if you notice the snazzy buttons that I am currently modeling, we want to thank, first of all, Barbara Sapato, who runs the NPR shop, who had these buttons made for us, and who is the grand dame of the celebration. But we will be giving out these buttons. We got like 1,000 of each, so stick around. We will personally... Wow, I popped my peas on the mic without the shield. We will be handing them out personally, so please stick around.
All right. Microphone is open. Q&A.
You got a lady right there with... is that a dog or a bunny on your shirt? What's going on there?
It's a French bulldog, which are often confused for bunnies.
Oh, wonderful.
I have two questions.
Tell us your name.
Oh, I'm Corey.
Hi, Corey.
Hey, Corey.
I have two questions. One is, did you know that you are one of the few podcasts that I follow that is not banned by the censors in China?
We're gonna have to work on that.
Yeah, that's how I found you, because so many were
that.
But just by asking that question,
right?
Yeah. Over.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I think now they're on to you. No, I wanted to know if you have any luck on getting your Enrique Iglesias cover song.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, yeah. To provide a slight bit of backstory, when we were talking about dream covers, I have said, and because I'm a genius, that the perfect cover would be the band New Pornographers covering Enrique Iglesias' Escape.
It's true.
I actually know Nico Case's manager and have thought about actually trying to make this happen.
Just go advocate.
But I wanted to create a groundswell from the people. Let's just
the
say
the ground is swelling. What more do you want?
Just it is we will call it a work in progress. I have nothing to report.
Who else?
Anybody else?
Who's up?
Anyone? Q&A questions.
You got an arm back there.
Things you've always wanted to know.
Hi guys.
Hi.
Hey, it's Lauren.
So. Partly because my, like, goal is to be on the enemies list. I'm wondering if Trey and Linda might be able to provide a level set for my expectations of Les Miserables.
You first.
It's even longer than the trailer.
It's even longer than the trailer. Anne Hathaway is wonderful in this movie. I'm not a Hatha hater. I like her sort of as a baseline person, but her acting is terrific, and her singing is appropriately strong for the way they're going at this movie, which is attempting to be very realistic. It is visually stunning. The actors clearly put themselves through a lot of stress and filth and, you know, and cold and hot and all of this. The screening,
plenty of filth.
Yeah. The screening that I saw, the sound was bad, so I was a little cranky about the way the music was coming across. But I am told that if your theater has it right, then it is grand and present and overwhelming in the way that it should be.
I loved it. I've been kind of bummed that it's got some kind of like so-so kind of talk, because I really loved it. I thought it was... I think it's very interesting for a musical. I think what they're trying to do in terms of having no aspiration to create the ideal recording of a song. They are trying to create the best scene as opposed to... Like Anne Hathaway and None of This, for example, just as one example, she's not trying to create the definitive recording of any of these songs, because you would do it differently. She's trying to create a performance that sounds like it could be a person who is sick and dying, which is very different, because no matter how great an actor you are, if you are singing strongly and perfectly the way that great singers often sing when they're trying to create a definitive recording, you do not sound sick and dying. I don't care how talented you are.
Right.
You don't sound sick and dying. She sounds sick and dying. Which, you know, and it happens to all of them in the film. I think they obviously decided to prioritize the immediacy of the acting.
Yeah, they absolutely did.
And I really like it. I think it works very well. So.
Heads up, there's an interview with Hathaway and Jackman on, I believe, Weekend Edition Sunday.
I think tomorrow.
It's tomorrow morning?
Oh, no, it was today.
Was it this morning?
It was today, because
it was
playing. I was really hoping Stephen was going to come in. Yeah, it was today.
And Anne Hathaway is asked about her history with the musical, and I did not know this. Her mother was Fantine on the First National Tour.
Oh, wonderful.
Or understudied it and went on for it several times.
Wonderful. Okay. All right, what happened to our mic?
Any other questions?
Questions?
In the meantime, I have
just
a question for the assembled audience. Anybody? Okay. My question for everybody, by applause, how many of you, you can be honest, you won't hurt my feelings, How many?
Who is your favorite?
No. That's later. How many of you have trouble telling my voice from Trey's?
From mine.
By applause. By applause. Okay.
Wow.
It's a smattering.
It's a smattering. Even here.
A generous smattering.
Among Trey fans. Yeah. So I just want to let you guys know that by lumping the two gay guys together, your ears are homophobic. I hope you do some work on that. But we don't hear it, but we certainly, I totally get it, because four voices is a lot.
Yeah.
And I listen to a hell of a lot of podcasts.
But you should not take a break. I've told you before, my mother can't tell the difference between me and Barry.
Yeah.
So it's like, it happens.
Okay.
But to rectify this, we're going to make Glenn speak in his evil Nazi voice for every podcast.
Yeah.
All the time.
All right. Hello. My name is Aaron, and my question is actually coming from a friend of mine and fan of yours who is currently exiled in Michigan, and very sad that he couldn't be here today. But he and I, and I'm sure many of you, remember and deeply love Glenn's series of post-apocalyptic DC during the government shutdown tweets, which are perhaps the best of their type, and I was wondering if there's anything we could possibly do to convince you to reprise it for the fiscal cliff crisis.
Oh,
it's
over the fiscal cliff.
Wow. It would pretty much be the same joke, wouldn't it? It would pretty much be the same.
I don't care.
Thanks, I didn't even think about that, but we'll see.
Who else?
Oh, wonderful.
Anybody else?
Microphone?
Oh, and tell us your friend's name. Who would the...
Oh, my friend's name.
All right, Peter. That was Peter's question about during the government shutdown. Anyone? Hi. Microphone, free microphone floating around.
Way back there.
Careful with that microphone. You break it, you bought it.
Grasping it very tightly. I'm invisible to you, but I'm back here. Catherine,
hey.
Hi.
We see your blue-sleeved arm.
We do.
Also,
I see you.
Doctor Who shirt.
I just
you can't see
you right
that,
now.
But I know there's some appreciation.
Ooh, Doctor Who nerds
there
represent.
There you go.
Hi. So this is mostly a Glenn and Trey question, because between the four M's of fantasy novels and the 101 best SFF books that you should read from the past year, I am always looking for a good new series. And I'm just going to ask you guys for a recommendation.
Huh.
Oh, boy.
I haven't been reading
Well,
a
we
lot
talked
of
about, on the podcast that dropped yesterday, I talked about the His Dark Materials books, which I think are wonderful and always worth going back to reread.
Are you reading a Tune, the Derek Kirk Kim? It's a graphic novel series, but it's really good.
No, tell me more.
It doesn't become science fiction until the end of the first volume, which just came out, but it's really good. You have to kind of... He's got a very strong hipster art student vibe, which takes a while to get through. But once you do, the book knows what it's about, and it's very funny, and it's very cute. Tune. It's also a webcomic if you want to save some money.
Is that T-U-N-E?
No, I'm kidding. You should buy the book.
T-U-N-E or
T-O-N-E? T-U-N-E.
Tune. Let's see. It's been a long time since I've read them, but I vaguely remember liking The Chronicles of Amber by, I think, Roger Zelazny.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Crowd? Anybody? Which
it's
is
all librarians. Come on.
I know, right? it's a story about an ultimate, sort of perfect alpha image of the universe and then a series of refracted shadow universes.
Yep.
And that's all I remember about it. But I remember liking
this
it.
One.
I know, really. If we can venture outside the world of science fiction fantasy, the Peter Wimsey detective novels are wonderful, and I go back to them all the time.
Good.
I have people over here telling me, yes! So, thank you.
Wonderful. Anybody else?
Mike, floating around. Throw your hand in the air and wave it like you just don't care about getting the mic. And you will.
All right. Back here in the corner. Hi.
Hey there. What's your name?
My name's Charlie.
Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi. Great to be here today. It was enjoyable. Thanks for putting this on and everything. Question for you is, over the course of the show, what is one of the best recommendations you've got from a co-panelist, co-host on the show?
Oh.
Man.
They're also smart.
Written word.
I'm reading.
Nobody's going to say German art song, are they?
No, not a word.
Actually, I would say Glenn talked... fairly, I think, early on the show about how much he loved Archer.
Yep.
And I sort of filed that away. It is, I mentioned it fairly recently on the show. I don't watch it with the kids because it's smutty. But it's incredibly, incredibly funny, wonderfully voice acted.
Mm-hmm.
That was Glenn had talked about H. John Benjamin, who is the voice of Archer and the voice of Bob on Bob's Burgers.
Yep.
And he was dead right on both counts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
also, anything that gives Jessica Walter some work.
Yeah, absolutely. And on Bob's Burgers, you know, he's playing the straight man, which you wouldn't necessarily put a guy like that into right. that role, but he's great. He's great at that. For me, I like the Japandroids a lot. That's recommended. Gone Girl is a great book. Mm. I was not prepared for how good the book would be. Because, you know, it's not that I dismiss anything you say, Linda Holmes. It's just, it's like, well, you recommend a lot of things. Some of which are in my wheelhouse, and some of which are not. And I wasn't entirely sure this was in my wheelhouse, but this was basically my entire wheelhouse, is what I'm saying.
While Linda, for those of you in the back, sits there with a bemused and possibly slightly outraged expression on her face, I will say that nothing Stephen Thompson has ever recommended has made me in any way happy.
Fair enough.
Actually, that's not at all true.
Tough but fair.
It's not at all true. I can't come up with a specific song, but I'm sure I do remember going through the All Songs top albums list last year. I haven't done it this year yet, but the top albums and top songs list, and coming away with a whole ton of stuff, including Bon Iver, who I love. Linda, after many, many exhortations, I finally...
Well, you know, I recommend a lot of things.
Yeah.
She does.
I finally broke down and started watching Breaking Bad, and I am, of course, absolutely addicted to it now. Still can't get into Friday Night Lights.
Everybody boo Trey.
Where you are
now. I know.
And you're wrong.
I know.
Well, I mean, I think that does bring up a
Wait, I haven't finished.
No, I'm interrupting you. Just how many things that I personally have gotten into because we do this podcast.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
This podcast has forced me to try things that I would not have otherwise tried. Like reading.
Speaking of which, the other thing that I just can't ever stop talking about enough, and I'm so glad that Glenn recommended it, a novel called The Great Night by Chris Adrian.
Yep.
It is one of the most beautiful pieces of writing. It's, again, right in my wheelhouse because it's a retelling of A Midsummer Night's Dream set in San Francisco in the, what, 90s?
Mm-hmm.
80s? Mm-hmm. Late 80s, early 90s? And it is terrifying. There's a real world storyline that gets very dark and gets disturbing, and then resolves itself in a way that is very satisfying. And then there's the way they envision the lives of the fairy king and queen in their court under the hill in the park, and then the arrival of the resurrection and the reentry of Puck into the world of the fairies.
All right, no spoilers.
No. This is all happens in the beginning. It's called The Great Night.
Great Night, it's called.
And it is just gorgeous.
Now, see, I always go last, and they always take a bunch of the good answers before this is my issue. I could have said Gone Girl, because I got Gone Girl from Powell and Barry before Glenn got it from me. And I could have said The Great Night, and now I can't. So I'm actually going to, I would say from a lighter perspective, I watched the thrift shop video because of Tanya.
Yes. All right.
And then I watched the Macklemore and Ryan Lewis Tiny Desk, which is actually awesome.
It's wonderful.
And I don't know that I would have traced that entire thing back to that if Tanya hadn't picked that as what was making her happy. The most recent time that Tanya was on the
show. Tanya Ballard Brown.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'll pick that one, but other ones too. And I mean, the thing about Stephen and music is that Stephen basically is my like music boss anyway. So like that's where I get most of the stuff I listen to anyway. So picking out one thing from the show, like Kishibashi or whatever, like that all comes from just generally like osmosis.
Yeah.
From letting you boss me around.
All right. One more question.
One more? Anyone? One more? I have a question. All right.
Pass the nice lady the mic.
So I originally started listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour because I was an NPR All Songs Considered like obsessive that came from my father. But anyway, so following you all on Twitter, it seems like there are Tiny Desk concerts all the time. And
yeah,
I'm wondering, like, I know that some of you have offices kind of in the area or your desks are in the area where these Tiny Desks are going on. Can you talk about the experience of what it's like to, like, try and do work when there's like artists coming in? And
who is asking this question?
Hey, Linda, why don't you field this one?
What is your name?
Hordes of people, hordes of people, you know, kind of coming into that area to listen, because some of the artists, it seems like there's huge crowds. And so I'm just wondering what it's like, and if you have a particularly memorable Tiny Desk moment that you could talk about.
Until you have had Eugene Hutz of the
Gogo Bordello.
Gogo Bordello. sweating vodka and spinning around on top of the desk next to you so that the vodka sweat is dripping on your keyboard. You do not know. You have not had the full Tiny Desk experience.
I have both crowd sensitivities and noise sensitivities. So it can, there are definitely
you
times,
came to the right place.
There are definitely times when it is when it challenges my kind of concentration and things like that. But the thing is that on balance, it's like it's a give take kind of thing, because on the one hand you do have days when it's kind of like, this isn't exactly what I want to be listening to. It's not exactly my thing. And you know, definitely the ones that bring really huge crowds. But at the same time, like when I think back on that, like when I saw Jimmy Cliff, when I saw the Avett Brothers, when I saw
Yo-Yo
Steven,
Ma.
Steven's like, now she's distracted because she's thinking about the Avett Brothers. But when I saw, you know, I mean,
when Adele walks in,
I wouldn't trade it for, I wouldn't trade it for anything really, like on a rational, sane day, like on an individual day, I can be like, I'm going to go work on the roof.
Now, that said, this past week, we might have had five of them, including a free jazz quintet. Ooh. And the 17 members of the Polyphonic Spree.
I have both crowd sensitivities and noise sensitivities.
Yeah, the free jazz, I jokingly sent around when we were planning the show, I jokingly sent around an email saying, what's making me happy is that my ears will have stopped bleeding with any luck.
But I try to remind myself regularly, I will never work in a room full of more people I like and respect and enjoy and love and am friends with. And I can get grumpy about it, but it is the absolute best room I will ever work in my life. Yeah. So.
And we do all sit in the same room. Yeah. I mean, Glenn.
Glenn, not so much.
Not so much, Glenn.
Glenn has a day job. Glenn comes in and sees you once a week.
Right. Yep. Glenn visits us.
Yes.
But Linda Trey and I do all sit in the same room. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the answer.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.